Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Yes, back to school is right around the corner. The summer's come and almost gone. It's time to think about new backpacks, lunchboxes, and if your child has asthma, maybe other meds as well. Dr. Ron Onbar, professor of pediatrics at SUNY Upstate, is here in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, Dr. Onbar.
Good morning.
Regular listeners know Dr. Onbar has joined us several times before to talk about kids and asthma. You're a big draw when you're on the show, so we're glad you're back. Back to school time. Is back to school different for kids with asthma?
Back to school is different for kids with asthma. Parents have to make sure that the school nurse is provided with information regarding how to manage their child's asthma. The child may be able to carry their medications on them, and that has to be taken into account. And this year, there's actually a big change. The generic forms of the rescue inhalers, albuterol, is being taken off the market as of the end of the year. And all kids, if they don't already have a prescription for the new form, will need to get a prescription for either Ventolin, Proventil, or ProAir. Those are the non-generic forms of albuterol now that they'll use as their rescue medication. And there's something that parents need to know, children need to know, and the school nurses need to know about administration of these new forms. In the old days, before, when you would use albuterol, you'd be taught to shake the medication, exhale, and then inhale slowly, preferably through what we call a spacer device or a holding chamber. Now, the new medications, you still have to shake them, but before you first inhale them, when you first get the inhaler, it has to be actuated or pressed four times just to get the medication going.
Wow.
And if the medication sits on the shelf for more than 2 weeks, so if it's a rescue medication that's only used once every 3 or 4 weeks, it has to be actuated or pressed two times before the child inhales it. If they don't do that, they're not going to get the medication. So not only do the parents need to know this and the children need to know this, but the school nurse needs to be told.
Absolutely. That sounds like a lot of new rules. I mean, are kids rehearsing this perhaps when they don't have so many problems?
Well, they should be rehearsing it. It is a new rule. And the reason the change has occurred is actually because the old inhaler contained chemicals, CFC, that destroyed the ozone layer. And the government mandated changing the inhalers from those that contain the ozone-destroying chemicals to safer, more environmentally friendly inhalers. But these new inhalers don't work quite as well, and that's why we have to go through this rigmarole.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting topic. What you're talking about is environmental concerns affecting health concerns, and actually we saw a little bit of that with the Beijing Olympics, didn't we?
Correct. Environmental pollutants clearly are one of the triggers of asthma, and you saw some athletes wearing masks because they didn't want to inhale pollution that could trigger their asthma. And certainly destruction of the ozone layer would cause even more environmental problems. So yes, the environment is becoming more and more of a problem as we deal with asthma.
So it's really looking for solutions that will help both ways.
Correct.
Interesting. Are there specific triggers kids encounter once they go back to school?
Well, asthma is triggered by any small particle that you can inhale into your lungs. So, for example, chalk dust can trigger asthma. Mold can trigger asthma, and if there's the school is moldy or if the school has undergone repair, that can be a trigger of asthma. Stress can trigger asthma, and in school, kids tend to be stressed.
Yes, they do.
So that can be another trigger there they encounter at school.
Do you find differences when you're talking about stress levels, perhaps in particular? Do you find differences between older kids and younger kids?
Well, fourth graders facing their ELA examinations tend to get stressed.
They do.
Oftentimes, see asthma problems around that time.
Right.
Older kids tend to be stressed more relating to tests and also exercise and sports, because as they become older, sports become more important, and you get more stress-induced asthma for that. Younger kids tend to be, their asthma tends to be caused more by getting colds. And in school, there's, you know, it's a breeding ground for infections. And kids catch, especially younger kids, catch colds from one another. And that's the most common asthma trigger in younger kids.
Sure they do. And, you know, it makes me actually ask the question then, what's the difference, or how can a parent tell the difference between, say, allergies and asthma? Are they related?
Well, they are related. Depending on who you talk to, at least half of kids with asthma have allergies. That's what pulmonary specialists like myself say. And if you speak to allergists, they'll tell you 90% of kids with asthma have allergies. And allergies and asthma share triggers, or in other words, something that triggers one's allergies can also trigger asthma. Allergies can be an asthma trigger. So they do come together.
Is asthma sort of a reaction to an allergy then?
Asthma is is part of the allergic reaction. So some kids, when they get allergies, their eyes get watery and their nose drips, and other kids, their lungs drip, so to speak, and that would be called asthma.
That would be the asthma. Do kids who have asthma miss any more school than kids who don't have asthma?
Sure, because they do develop more respiratory problems as a result of their asthma, and missing school is one of the big morbidities of asthma. However, asthma that's well controlled shouldn't cause a lot of school loss. So if a child is out of school for their asthma, it's probably not getting managed as well as it might be.
Uh-huh. And I would imagine that teachers could almost help the kids with controlling that then if they really understood the kid's asthma.
Right. If a teacher's aware that the child is having breathing problems, and the breathing problem might be as little as a cough to, of course, wheezing or being really out of breath. But if the teacher notices that child is coughing, then if asthma therapy is introduced at that point, then the child may not go on to become sicker.
Ah, that's good. Do kids use asthma as an excuse to get out of gym class?
Of course, kids will use anything as an excuse. Again, asthma that's well controlled shouldn't make kids miss gym class. And in the Olympics, we saw a number of Olympic-level athletes who have asthma.
So, really?
Yes. And actually, asthma is more common in elite athletes, believe it or not,
really,
than in the general population. And there's a reason for that.
And what would that be?
Well, if you think about how you breathe when you're exercising as opposed to how you breathe normally, you understand the difference. When you're at rest and you breathe through your nose, and so the nose does three things for you. It filters the air from pollution, it warms the air, and it makes it moist. Now, when you're running around, you're breathing through your mouth, so then you breathe in dirty air, and you're actually breathing faster, so you're bringing a lot of dirt into your lungs. And again, if, like in Beijing, when it was polluted, athletes could bring a lot of air pollution into their lungs. The mouth does not warm the air, and the mouth does not humidify the air. And triggers of asthma include pollution, dry air, and cold air. Those are all triggers of asthma. So if you think about that, you'll realize what the best sport is for childhood asthma. Do you know what that is?
Tell me.
It's swimming. Because it's a humid, warm environment.
And it sort of filters the air that's coming in, or at least it gives you the opportunity to not be breathing all the time.
Well,
if you're underwater, you're not breathing so much.
That's true. And the worst sport, as you might imagine, might be ice hockey.
True.
Cold, dry, and if there's smoking in the stands, also pollution.
Very interesting. So kids really can't use sports and exercise as an excuse when
They shouldn't.
They can't avoid those, can they? Interesting. Are there cycles? I often wondered this because I was a school teacher for a number of years, and I don't remember kids having asthma, and that was many years ago. So first of all, are we finding more kids with asthma now than we were, say, 20 years ago?
Well, we believe the incidence of asthma has risen. At this point, maybe one out of 20 kids has asthma. And asthma does cycle. It tends to be worse in the spring and in the fall for children who have allergies to seasonal plants. It also tends to be worse in the winter for kids whose asthma is triggered by colds.
Sure, sure. And from your explanation just a moment ago. And then a question, do you find kids have more problems with their asthma earlier in the week, say on a Monday, than they do on a Friday, or even earlier in the day or later in the day?
Well, I think you tend to be more stressed early in the week, so that might be a cause of asthma earlier in the week. As far as earlier or later in the day, there are some children who tend to have asthma more in the later afternoon, and one of the reasons is that the body has a natural cycle of steroids that the body produces. Some of your listeners will know that steroids is a therapy for asthma, but the body produces its own steroids, and the body's own steroids tend to be highest in the early morning and lowest in the late afternoon, and that might be a reason that asthma tends to be worse in some people in the afternoon.
And if you're tired, does it trigger your asthma? Are kids more tired toward the end of the day? Would that be a causative?
I'm not sure if fatigue by itself causes asthma. I think you're more likely to complain of not feeling well.
There you go. Well, we know you as the doctor who teaches children self-hypnosis to control their asthma. I've got to think it would be a great tool for them to be using in school.
Sure. Again, since stress is definitely a trigger of asthma, using hypnosis can help kids calm themselves and therefore be able to think their way out of an asthma flare-up, mm-hmm. if you like. And we teach kids like shortcut methods. They don't go into hypnosis in the middle of the classroom and space out, at least they're not supposed to. We teach them a brief shortcut method. It might take them half a second mm-hmm. to calm themselves, and then they can go on with their lessons.
It's almost like a self-meditation, isn't it?
Correct. Uh-huh. And that being said, asthma at this point is both overdiagnosed and underdiagnosed. So there are certainly kids who have asthma who are not recognized to have asthma. And that's a child, for example, who might have a cough for a long time after colds but no other symptoms. Mm-hmm. That they have asthma. Then there are kids who develop shortness of breath, and we feel, and they think they have asthma because they have shortness of breath, but that's actually because they might be anxious.
Aha. It's very interesting, and I know there must be ranges. If people want to get in touch with you to learn more in particular about the self-hypnosis, how can they do that?
They can reach us through the University Hospitals MD Direct. The phone number is 464-4842.
Okay, or I suppose they could call Health Connections as well, which is 464-8668. And we will also put a connection on our HealthLink on Air website. Well, Dr. Ron Armbar, thanks so much for coming by. We've learned about kids going back to school when they have asthma. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.